It's Tip Tuesday on the Starters Club podcast, where we talk about the business details that no one else likes to talk about, but everyone needs to know.
This just got exciting.
And now, here's your host, Aaron Smith.
All right, welcome to the Starters Club podcast, where today we're going to do a really, really fun Tip Tuesday. I'm so excited. I have Sabina Hitchens here from Sabina Knows. Sabina, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Aaron, and hello to everyone at the Starters Club.
Well, thank you. And Sabina is the perfect example of why you get on social media and why you make friends, because we are Instagram friends.
Exactly.
Who did a Skype chat and immediately fell in love with each other in a BFF sort of way. And I love what Sabina does. And I started following her on Periscope. And she did this Periscope that rocked my world. I loved it. It was about going through a magazine and completely shifting it to build your business. And so, Sabina, I can't wait to cover this topic with you today.
I am really excited. And I agree. I want to second what you said. Social media is so powerful. I was basically secretly stalking you, not even secretly, on Instagram and Twitter. And then we finally just went for it, which speaks to just going for it when you want to connect with someone. And look what happened. Here we are now chatting.
Exactly. I love it. It's so true. And yeah, I could go on that topic forever, but it's so true. So I love Sabina is, you know, you're a PR expert. You've got a great history. And I love your story so much. We don't have to get too detailed into it, but how you got into PR is one of my favorite stories ever. It's all about something I preach about, just going for it. You don't know have to know everything. And so tell us a little bit about that story, how you got a job and read PR for Dummies. I think it's one of my favorite stories
So I was living in Chicago at the time. I was teaching high school and I was writing education curriculum for the Bill Gates School. So nothing to do with entrepreneurship. So I thought, I didn't even know what public relations was at the time. And I decided I needed my New York chapter, New York City chapter, as some do. So I hightailed it over here with just, you know, big dreams, big hopes, no plan. And got here, sort of freaked out, needed a job. And a friend said, there's an opening at Escada, the fashion house, for public relations. And I thought, huh? So I literally Googled, what is PR? Before my interview, and I got PR for Dummies, and I went to that interview, and I sort of, shall we say, BS my way through it. Like, I love the public, and I love relationships were some of my answers. But I had so much confidence in myself and moxie that they let me go for it. And I basically learned on the job. I didn't even know what Escada was when I got to New York. And I learned on the job and I quickly fell in love with public relations as I really learned what it was. And no lie, within a year of my first starting as a PR assistant, I had opened my first PR agency where I worked with experts and startups and coaches and people like that. And the rest was history. I've gone on since then to 10 years in the agency. And now what I do is I teach entrepreneurs how to do what they love for a living and share their message with the press and the world through PR, social media, things like that.
I love it because this is what I preach. So many people are like, well, I don't know what I'm doing, or it doesn't matter. Start. You'll figure it out. And you went from reading PR for Dummies and now you're a complete PR expert. And
I will say to you, I didn't know what a press release was. I didn't know what I Googled, but I had to ask people I was working with, like, what's an editorial calendar? I didn't know anything, but I sort of like to quote Barbara Corcoran here when she says, you don't have to get it right. You just have to get it going. And I think that was basically what I was doing. I was like, well, here goes. Cause what's the worst case scenario that could happen? Nothing really fatal. So I just went for it and it was such a blessing for me.
I could never get enough of stories like this. So I know, like I said, I saw you do this on Periscope. My world was forever rocked. And I want to cover this. I know it's going to be a little bit harder to do since it's a podcast versus we don't have the visual. But let's begin on how you're reading your favorite magazine. You know that you could write an article that can really have an impact on this magazine. And now you're going, but where do I even begin? So
exactly.
I'm going to give it to you now to start.
Okay. And if you're listening to Aaron and I talking, you can always pause us and grab your favorite magazine or the magazine you dream of having yourself or your business featured in and follow along with us. But what we're going to talk about is mastering reading a magazine like a PR pro. And you're reading it sort of like a scientist or a detective to figure out how you can get your message or your business or your feature story in that magazine. So we're really trying to read it so we can figure out how that magazine works, how the different sections work, who writes for them, what the magazine stands for, what their voice is. Because once you know all of those things, you can basically reverse engineer yourself and you can sort of start with what they want and move backwards so you can create the perfect way to get yourself in there. So the first thing I'm going to say as we dissect these magazines is something that's not even inside the magazine. I always recommend people start by figuring out what the magazine actually stands for, because we think we know Red Book or Self Magazine or Entrepreneur or Fast Company or 17 or Maxim or Men's Health or wherever you want to be, but do you really know what their mission statement is? Just like your business has a mission statement. So what I recommend people do is go to the website of the magazine. They all have one. You can usually find that via their publishing house. So Condé Nast, Hearst, Time Inc. will list all their magazines. You click on the title you want, and they'll give you a rundown of exactly what that magazine describes themselves as. And that really helps you get in the mindset like, oh, this is really what they're into, or this is what the difference between self and shape is, or something like that. So you get into the mindset of that magazine. And the second way you really get into the mindset of that magazine is, a part often people skip, I know I used to skip it before I was in PR, and I would, it's the letter from the editor that's the beginning of every magazine, because they're just talking about what's going on at the magazine, what matters to them. So pick your target or targets and do that first. So you really get the vibe of the magazine. So that's the first thing we're going to do. And we're going to probably discover we didn't know all that they stood for. And it's going to give us some inspiration on how we can help them and their readers a lot and be aligned with what they stand for. The second thing you're going to do is head over to this secret place of the magazine. Again, a lot of people skip over, and it's usually 9 times out of 10 at the front of the magazine, and that is the masthead. The masthead is that long list of people who work at the magazine, and you might not even know it's in there, but basically, most of the time at the front, sometimes at the back, it's a list of all the people working there, editorial and admin. You don't need all the advertising right now. You want to check out the editorial. And when you look at that, you'll notice it's sort of a top-down order, sort of like a totem pole. And the most important people are at the top. So the executive editors and the editor-in-chief are all at the top. Those are going to be people you're most likely going to be avoiding, because as a business owner, you're not going to need to reach out to the editor-in-chief, nor do you want to. But what you're going to do is you're going to say, okay, what's my niche? What's my beat? Are you fitness? Are you wellness? Are you fashion? Are you finance? And you're going to look to the section in that masthead. It'll say accessories or beauty or startups or whatever magazine you're in. It's going to tell you. And then within that chunk of that topic, it's going to be in order of importance. And that's going to help you, because sometimes we get confused, like associate editor, editorial assistant, assistant editor, like who's what, right? But if you look at that, it's in the right order. So you're probably not going to start at the top. You're going to start at the bottom of that section if you don't know anyone there and work your way up. So you'll be able to see. Sometimes mastheads are very specific, like it will say, organic beauty editor. Sometimes they're more general. But now you're getting the gist of who's actually working in what sections. That basically uncovers a big mystery, because sometimes we're thinking, where do I even start at this magazine? The masthead is where you start. So you're going to go through that masthead. And what I want you to do is I want you to start committing these names in the masthead to memory. So the people who matter to you and your business, it's going to be different for everyone listening here. I want you to like tear out that masthead, highlight their names. These are the people who are going to be the people you're like pseudo stalking, and in a very healthy, productive way. Right, and right. Don't be a weirdo.
Don't figure out where they live. Just
exactly. Don't show up on their doorstep. It's just too creepy. But you do want to sort of know, because if you're really, your goal is to get into Inc. magazine, you should be able to tell me who at Inc. magazine is your target. And we'll talk about that more in a second, but you're going to look at that masthead, and you're also going to then, so you commit their names to memory, and you're also going to start following those people on social media, because I'd say 98% of them are there. And when I say social media, I mean Instagram and Twitter. I would avoid Facebook, obviously, and you don't want to link in with them unless you've already started to build a relationship with them.
Okay, can I just
yeah, go ahead and go for it.
So you're looking at this list. Do you go for when you're okay, who do I follow on Twitter? So you don't want to go admins, you don't want to go the very top. Do you find, like, let's say I have an organic beauty product, like you were talking about, do I just go for that editor, or do I how do you make a strategy on who actually you want to reach out to?
Like, if I was in beauty at all, I would probably follow most of the gals, most of their gals. There could be guys too, but most of the gals in the beauty department, because when you're following them, it's not because, and I don't want you to do this, like, because you're going to start pitching them every day, like, look at my stuff, look at my beauty, look at my organic beauty. It's because you're getting to know them and their beat and their vibe and, like, what they're into, what they do via social media. That's sort of like they're leaving a trail of breadcrumbs of how you can get to them. Or you're growing a relationship with them by retweeting them or replying to things and just having them say, oh my gosh, I recognize Aaron Smith's name because we tweet together. And that's just like an extra step closer to them. So if I were beauty, I would probably reach out and follow most of the beauty department. You can always unfollow them if you're like, this person's not working for me. I often will follow the editor-in-chief if they're there on social media, not because I'm going to pitch them, but because, again, I'm just getting like a peek into the magazine. And also, I'm not even joking, a lot of the times these people will say on social media, like, I'm looking for organic beauty products for Christmas, or I'm looking for stocking stuffers. So you're getting really good insight into what they're looking for. And the last thing I'll say is, when you're pitching, and we'll talk about this later, but when you're about to pitch someone, let's say you're going to, you know, pitch Susie Snowflake, and she's a beauty editorial assistant, and you're going to start with her. And if you then go to her Twitter and she says, I'm like on my honeymoon in Mexico all week, you're probably not going to pitch her then, because it's going into a black hole of her not answering. So following them is just so powerful. But strategically, you can follow, there's never going to be more than, you know, a few people in each department, max like 7 in a big magazine. You can follow as many as you want, because you can always unfollow them later.
And this would be a great use of Twitter lists.
Oh, complete good use. And also, you know how people, you can tell when someone puts you on a list. And I think that's cool, because then all of a sudden you're pinging them basically electronically and you're on their radar, and then they're looking at who you are and your profile.
Exactly. I love it. So simple. Just takes a little bit of work, but it works. All right, keep going. I love it.
Okay, so then if we got the masthead, we've started following people on social media, now we're going to take a step into the magazine. And so if you're following along with the magazine, you're starting to just like turn the pages, and you're going through the magazine. I like to go like to a Staples or Office Max or something and get those narrow post-its so I can start marking up my magazine. I don't like to tear out the pages, because I will then lose them, or they'll be all over my desk. So I start marking the magazine places that sort of turn me on business-wise, and I'm like, ooh, that's a place I want to be. And remember, no matter what kind of business you are, you're looking for like the beat you're in, your niche. And also, a lot of times, there are possible feature stories. You might see a female entrepreneur or a mompreneur or a dadpreneur covered in something. You can say, aha, they cover cool startups as well, so let me post it that baby too, because that might be good for me. So you're basically going through the magazine section by section, because here's the thing. Magazines have a specific layout. Every month is not different. Every month is basically the same, unless they do a big revamp and they'll announce it and everyone will know it. So you're going through section by section and you're studying those sections. And here's a hint. If you go to your local library, they're going to have a lot of back issues of the magazine. So I just use Redbook, for example. You get this month's Redbook. We can all do this right now, or whatever magazine you're in love with. And you can go section by section and see, okay, I didn't even know this section was here, or, oh, I'm a perfect fit for this section. And then you're going to go back a few months. You can do this at the library. Sometimes it's even online. And you can start seeing, flipping back and see the flow and see the pattern. And you're going to look at them and say, okay, who are they covering? How are they covering them? Which sections could I be featured in? And you're going to start sort of studying it. Again, I like to say you're like a scientist or detective, because we often just read them and like, oh my gosh, I wish I was in this. But we don't really pay attention to say, oh, this is their We Heard It First section, or this is their Spotlight on Style section or something. So because you need to know this vocabulary, because that says to them when you're pitching them, this guy or gal knows my magazine. So you don't come in looking clueless, because, I mean, what if someone came to your business and sounded totally clueless? You'd be offended. You'd be like, why are you even emailing me? So you got to know the gist of the magazine. So that's the next step, is like really going through the magazine And right now we're just getting a feel for the sections. We're just like tagging it all up. Don't feel bad if you tag like 7 pages in a row, because you know each section has a bunch of different opportunities for you, and you want to find all the sections you can. And we'll talk about the next step is sort of figuring out who covers each section.
Okay. This is, it's so true. As you, when I saw you first do this, it really is true. It's these sections that you just kind of bloop, 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 go right by, yet they've got the answers to everything for you.
They really do. And it's sort of like a treasure map. I feel like people have, when I started PR and I was at Escada and I was so green, it was scary. But my boss one day said to me, Sabina, it's PR, it's not ER. Like, you're not curing cancer here, you are working in PR. So chill out and realize that once you figure out the systems and the patterns and things like that, you're going to really be like, oh, I'm so enlightened. And not to make it sound super easy, because of course it's sometimes difficult, but really anyone can do it if they learn the secrets and the tricks and the strategies. So we looked through the sections and we were like, okay, now I have a really great insight into who, I'm sorry, into what each section is. So the next thing we're going to do, because we've marked off all those sections we want to be and we put our post-its in. I even do different colors like pink for products or green for feature stories. So I've marked them all up. Then you're going to, you know, take a deep breath and you're going to go back into each section and you're going to dig a little deeper. And the next question we're going to ask ourselves is, who is covering each section I want to be in? Because that's, you know, sort of obvious. You want to know, who are you going to pitch? So the first thing you're going to do is look at the section for the obvious. A lot of times their names are actually listed. Aaron Goldsmith or, you know, Emily Blumenthal or John Davis. It's going to have their name right next to the story they did. They get a byline. So ding, ding, ding. If that's the case, you know who your target is for that section. And again, you like follow them on social media, take a note in your notes somewhere. But then sometimes, and I know a lot of you will say this, you say, I go to my section and I don't see a name there. It's just, you know, an article or a cool little box of facts, but there's no section there. So then what you're going to do, you're not going to freak out. You're going to go back to that masthead we talked about before and go to the beat, go to the niche, the topic of whatever it is that there's no editor listed. So accessories, health, wellness, finance, whatever. And you're going to go to that place in the masthead and you're going to look for any word that says assistant, like editorial assistant, just plain assistant. Sometimes there are actually interns in disguise working as assistants. Like, we all know how that goes. It's the same in magazines. So you're going to hunt down the assistant for that section and you are going to ask them via email or via phone. Pick your style, whatever is comfortable for you. I prefer email. It's faster and easier. You're going to ask them, hey, who covers this specific section? Who covers the makeover section? Who covers who wore it better? There's a section in a lot of celebrity magazines. If you're a product guy or gal, celebrity magazines sell like millions of magazines and people read these everywhere. So again, you might see like the look for less, like the celebrity wore this and you can get it for $19 here. So you're going to name the section and then you are going to ask them, who covers this beat? Because you need to know how to pitch, who to pitch. Now, I want to stop there because people are probably listening to us, Aaron, and they're saying, well, how do I email an assistant? Like, what the heck? How do I find them? And just really simple trick, because the internet's so amazing. You are just looking for the formula of their email address, like firstname.lastname@condenast.com or first initial last name at hearst.com. And all you need to do that is literally Google, like, what is the email system for Hearst? Or you can even look at the front or the back of the magazine, and they might have email addresses for advertisers and things like that. And everybody at the magazine has the exact same system for the most part. So do a little bit of sleuthing. It won't take you, it'll take you like 15 minutes tops, I would say, on a bad day. And you can get the contact information of the editorial assistant, or you can just pick up the phone, call the magazine, their number is listed online, and ask to speak to the editor, you know, say like, can I talk to Jane Doe, Jane Smith, whoever, and then say to them, hey, I'm looking to figure out who best to pitch for this section. You can introduce yourself because that's good manners, and you can say what you do, but you don't want to give them this whole, you know, spiel about yourself because they don't want to know that. They just want to answer one question, and that is, who covers this section? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does. And it's comfort zones, right? This isn't that hard. It's comfort zones. You have to call somebody, do a little research, talk to somebody you don't know, but it's, if you do this, no one else is doing it, you know?
Exactly. And the thing is, like, we freak out because we're thinking, oh my gosh, like, this is so awkward. Are they going to think? Are they going to yell at me? Or what's going to happen? They're getting calls like this all day long from not just business owners, but publicists all day long. So they're not even spending 30 seconds worrying about it once they hang up on you. They're like, done. That's why I actually do email, because if I email an editorial assistant and specifically ask in the subject line, like, regarding like who covers the look for Less or something, they know then an email, it's a very simple question or something. They can answer that really quickly. Or do you cover Lucky this or Women's Health that? And then they can answer really quickly and be done. So don't worry about it. People do it all day long. And like you're saying, Erin, if you don't do it, somebody else will. And they're going to be the early bird that gets the worm that you want. So in the more you do it, the less awkward it feels.
Oh, I love it. Keep going.
We call these people the gatekeepers. You might have heard that term before, these editorial assistants and assistants, because they're basically opening the gate for you to let you know who to pitch. They're opening the gates of the magazine for you. And the cool thing is, when you do this for yourself, basically, because it's hard, of course. You're not a PR pro necessarily. But when you do it, they are going to then say to you, okay, it's this person or it's that person, or pitch me, for instance. And the great thing is, if they say, you know, pitch me, you're like, okay, thanks, Jane, or thanks, Sarah. Now to continue, here's what I do, blah, blah, blah. You give them your pitch. If they say, oh, it's Emily Smith, then when you reach out to Emily Smith with your pitch, you'll be able to say, I was referred by Sarah, or I was referred by Jane. And then you have this like extra in the magazine. So basically, we've gone from like cluelessness in a way to, you hit that masthead up, you study those sections, you hunt down who the person is that you need to reach out to. And then the cool thing is, we are ready to actually reach out, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to figure out who it is that covers that section. If for some reason no one is reaching out to you, who like the editorial assistant isn't getting back to you, you email someone else in that section. You just, you know, don't do it in a succession of 5 minutes. Give them a day or two to get back to you, because they're being bombarded by emails and they all work right next to each other. So it'd be silly to think that they all don't know that you're emailing them, but just give them a moment, take a deep breath, email another magazine, and then they'll probably loop around. And that's when you're ready to basically start reaching out to the magazine, because you've got all the information you need right in your hands.
Oh, so I love it. It takes just a little bit of work. So what do you actually pitch then? So you know who to go to. Do you send them an entire article? Do you send them an entire product? Do you just give them an idea of what you want to write about? How do you best approach it?
Okay, so let's pretend that the gatekeeper actually referred you. That's the high level, what we're hoping for. If not, you're just going to go in cold. But what you want to do is a couple things. For one, again, you're hoping that you've sort of been warming up with them by maybe pinging them, not like pitching them, but saying something to them on Twitter or heart, like, you know, commenting on their Instagram, because people sometimes get 17 or 170 hearts on a photo. They might not notice your heart, but if you make a comment, someone's going to notice you, of course. So you're already sort of warming them up. It's your warm-up act, sort of. And then you're going to reach out to them. Depending on what you are pitching them, it's going to be a different pitch. But what I'll tell you is, you don't want to just send them a product cold. I've been to so many editorial outlets, magazines. I have lots of friends who work in magazines. My husband works in magazines. I'm a media girl. They get so much product sent to them all day long. It just heaps on a table. You know, interns are taking it at home. Don't just blindly send them anything, a media kit, a folder, a box, because they didn't ask for it. It's sort of a nuisance. But what you're going to do is you're going to reach out to them with an email. And I like to say the best kind of email you're sending to these people is really short and sweet, because think about, as an entrepreneur, all the emails you get. And if you see a page of text, it starts to give you anxiety. At least it does for me. I'm like, oh my God, I can't read this now. I can't deal with it. So you're going to be very clear. Like, subject line should be very clear. You know, fitness expert with 5 tips to lose weight after a baby, or, you know, innovative handbag that can be worn 4 different ways made out of vegan leather or something, or introducing Carrie's cookies, gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, whatever. Like, very clear. People sometimes think that'd be crafty or sneaky in the subject line, but really tell them what you're sending them if you're trying to be sneaky, they're going to figure out what you are selling or pitching to them, and they'll like it or not either way. So be specific so you're helping them know if they want to respond to you. And then in that body of the email, it is like, keep it short and sweet. You have a few sentences with your hook introducing yourself. Always include a link to your website in there so they can quickly go see if they want to like get the visual of you or your product. Don't hyperlink because people don't trust hyperlinks if they don't know you. So you've got a few sentences. I like to call it a mini paragraph where you're describing what you're selling to them, what you're pitching to them. And then what I think is the magic bullet are bullets. So you bullet out everything they need to know, either the tips you would like to share, the topics you can cover as an expert, or if you're a product person, you're bulleting out your sexy product talking points. And it's like from the top are the most juicy things about your product that are so cool. And at the very bottom are the least juicy things like the website they can buy it on or, you know, the price point. Because what they really want to know is all the cool things about your product. And you know, give them like 3 to 5 bullets. If you need to do 6, that's fine. And then you're going to close it with like a next step, like, I look forward to hearing back from you, or let me know if I can send you a sample, or if these tips don't work, let me know if I can send you more tips that work for a story you're working on. So it really is a formula, you know, quick intro, some bullet points, and then your close, and then you're going to fire it off to them. And then like you're an actor on an audition, you are not going to obsess about the pitch forever. You're going to record it. That's a big, like, you got to record what you're pitching folks. And then you're going to move on to the next one. And then you're going to make a note in your chart, however you're recording it, to follow up with them soon. You know, within, I'd say for a magazine, you're going to give them, I like to give them at least a week because these people are working in a month-to-month basis. So they got a lot going on and it's too much to follow up the same day or a couple days later. Give them time to digest, to figure out how to respond to you. And if you don't hear from them, then you can dive in and follow up again after that.
Okay. So I have several, like a couple questions for you on
this.
Go
for it.
Following up one time, and then if you don't hear from them, end it, you know.
You know, I used to think, okay, there's like a 3-time follow-up rule or like a 3, everyone has their own secret sauce. Like every publicist will tell you something different. But to me, and I think it's because, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I started my own agency. I wasn't working for someone. So it was like, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, it's a little more serious because you got to pay your rent. I believe I would follow up consistently and politely until I got an answer. Because otherwise, I'm wondering, you're like, hearing a no is almost easier than hearing nothing, right? So until you hear a no, I consistently follow up. But I follow what I like to call Sabina's 3 P's. So I'm persistent, but I'm also professional and I'm always polite because if I'm doing those things, I don't feel that bad about it. And I like put the professional and polite at the top. And of course I'm persistent. So if I don't hear back, I'll follow up a week later. And if I don't hear back still, I'll follow up maybe like 4 or 5 days after that. And the key is when I'm following up, I don't just copy and paste the same pitch in there because then you're spamming them and maybe they already saw it. Maybe they put you in a file for later. Maybe they forwarded it to their boss and they said, do you think I should respond to Aaron or Sabina or whoever? So giving them some room. But when you follow up, you say, you know, hey, Susie, I reached out to you before. I just wanted to let you know as well if, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or create some new spin or say, if I can get you any more information, just sort of acknowledge you followed up. You can even say, I've included my first pitch below for reference. And just, but you got to acknowledge that you're following up. I like to follow up. And you can also do the dance between if you pitch them by email, maybe follow up on the phone and go back and forth. Because what is the worst case scenario? Like if you are polite and professional, the worst case scenario is like, you know what, Aaron, we've got you on file. Or thanks so much. Next time we'll let you know. Or not this time, but reach out to me next time. So at least you haven't, you know, if you only send it once or even twice and you never follow up, for all you know, they just didn't see it. And I'll tell you one more thing about that. My husband gets pitched so many times a day. It gets scary. I look at his email and it gives me insight into what it's like to be an editor. And he says to me, when I see somebody's name popping up a few times, it gives me, and I don't know them, I pause and I say, they really believe they belong in my outlet. So I'm going to give them a chance. I'm going to read their email and see what they're up to because they clearly really want this. And that says a lot.
Oh, I love that tidbit. Thank you for that. So when it comes to, you know, I'm thinking of Entrepreneur Magazine. You've got the online portion and you've got the magazine in print. Now you can submit, you can go online and a lot of them have to submit a blog post. How do you approach when they have two segments or two outlets, I guess? Do you assume if you pitch one, it could be featured in the other? Or do you have to approach them very differently? How does that work?
You know, most magazines these days have, like, they're the two separate teams. I mean, they all work together in the same office, but there will, like, whether it's Entrepreneur or whether it is, you know, Fit Pregnancy or whatever it is, they have different people. So there's the monthly part, the print, that every month is different. So you have to think to yourself, these people are working 3 to 6 months ahead on a story. Because, like, right now, we're talking, it is July. So the monthly magazines are working on their holiday gift guides and their holiday stuff because that's a big project. So they start early on those. Whereas the online division is working on what's right now, what's hot right now, like what are we talking about for summer? Now, sometimes the print issue content will bleed into the online because who doesn't want to repurpose content? But there's really two different teams working. So your job would be to figure out, you know, do your sleuthing, say, are the names the same in the magazine as the people that are getting the like attributed to online? Usually they're different. Just as someone who has media databases she works with, because that's my job, I can look up like Red Book Magazine in print, and there's a definite different team for Red Book Magazine online. Same with Entrepreneur. So you're really looking at two different approaches, and you're reaching out to two different people, and you have to say to yourself, okay, the magazine people are working way ahead of time because they've got to get together a print magazine. They can't do that the day before it's done. Whereas the online people are working on things that are right now. So you have to think to yourself, how can I modify this pitch to make it work for the people I'm reaching out to? Because we have to shift our mindset to be like, it's not about me. It's about them. Like, how can I serve them? How can I serve their readers? Because when you make that shift, it's going to change the way you talk about whatever you're offering to them.
And I you answered my other question too. I was going to ask about lead time. Like, if you're trying to plan these pitches to tie to maybe a product or service you're launching, that's good to know, about 3 to 6 months, just depending.
Yeah, you do. And you know, every magazine is different. And the cool thing is, I mean, this is another one of my favorite quotes in PR. When I'm training people, I say, closed mouths don't get fed. Like, you just got to ask for it. If you don't ask and you wonder, you're hurting yourself. There is no harm, no foul in reaching out and saying, O Magazine, that's like everyone's dream. Hey, O Magazine editor, whoever you're reaching out to, can I just ask you where in your calendar you are right now? Because then you're never going to really have to ask it again, because you now know, oh, they're working like Oprah Magazine's working 4 months ahead. And maybe Fit Pregnancy's working 2 months ahead. Like, they're all different. They all have their own staff, their own calendars. Every section is even timed differently because they can pull tips from an expert really quickly. They can't do a photo shoot in Bali really quickly. So everyone has their own schedule. And the more you study these magazines and you study these people on social media, you put your detective or scientist hat on, you're going to figure out their rhythm and their flow. And then you start feeling more confident because it's not a mystery. It's, you know, it's a company. They work a certain way. They're not going to change it. So it helps you figure it out a little bit more.
I love it. You've given me a new goal. I'm going for O.
You should. And you
I'm
know
going
what?
For it.
I gotta tell you, and I'm not even exaggerating, I think magazines like O Magazine or Inc., for instance, or even Inc.com, which is very powerful, people put those things on these pedestals. So they hold back from them. And then, like, what kind of service are you doing for yourself or the world when you're holding back? And the thing is, so many people hold back from them that they're sometimes, like, once you do it, you unleash yourself on it. You'd be surprised you're going to get a response. These aren't people like, you know, it's not like you're trying to reach out to Elton John or Madonna. You're reaching out to real guys and gals who are editors doing their job. If you can find a good way to show that you're going to benefit or serve their readers, they're going to be interested. And true story, if you're a product person, I know a gal. Her company is called Simple Sarongs. She makes these towels you can button up on the sides. They don't fall off you, so you can wear your towel as a sarong. Amazing, innovative entrepreneur. She took a class with me and we talked about things like this, and I'm not even lying to you. She tweeted the editor that she was interested and they started tweeting back and forth. Adam Glassman, he's a big cheese at Oprah Magazine. Yeah, they were tweeting back and forth, and he ended up putting her product not only in the magazine, but on Good Morning America, where he does features, all because she just decided to go for it. Cause like, what's the worst that could happen? He ignores you or says no. Like, so what? That happens all day as an entrepreneur. So she busted through her discomfort zone. She tweeted at him. She emailed at him, and the rest was history. She has had so many sales because of that.
That's goosebump worthy. I've got goosebumps. That's awesome.
When I tell this story, I actually saved a photo from her social media. We're friends on social media, where she was toasting her husband with champagne when it all like finally went down. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's what happens when you like do your homework, you learn what you need to learn, and then you just go for it, because that's what everyone's doing. When I was a newbie publicist at Escada and then with my own agency, I was faking it till I made it. I, in the beginning, was so clueless. But what I wasn't was I was not fearful. I just went for it because I had to pay my bills. And because I went for it, my cluelessness changed eventually. But the success happened because I did it. I didn't think about doing it. I actually did it.
This has been amazing. We're over time. I don't care if we go over time when we've got such amazing stuff here. Sabina, oh my gosh.
It's so powerful. Like, I want them to listen so they can do it. You can do it, Erin, like for Oprah magazine. They can do it for whatever magazine is. And when the more you do it, the more you're like, oh, I got this. I'm a beast. And one more thing, guys, you can do the same system with TV shows, with online, like modify it a little bit, but you can search on Twitter, just put into Twitter, search for people like Today Show producer, Good Morning America producer. They're all going to pop up, and bam, you're in the same situation. You're all of a sudden stalking these people, so to speak, on social media. So you can modify this system a little bit and reach out to anybody at any kind of media outlet.
I love it. So before we go, this is just the tip of the iceberg of the stuff you teach. I want us, if somebody is loving this, they want to get more of you, you've got some great stuff coming out, tell us where we can find you and where can we go.
All right, because I'd love to have you all come hang out with me digitally, maybe someday in person, but let's start digital. You can find me on SabinaKnows.com. That's Sabina, KNOWS.com. And I actually have a course coming out this September, like school's in session, folks. It's called Press for Success. And it's a PR master course for experts. So I mean coaches, bloggers, food experts, fitness experts, any kind of expert, or person who provides a service. And I'm going to teach you, like, this again is just a little bit of what I know. I'm going to teach you everything you need to know to share your message and your expertise and your business with the press, and by that, the world. So I'm going to give you everything I've learned in my 10 plus years of PR, all the years I've spent teaching entrepreneurs, strategies, templates, skills, how to get yourself online in magazines, on TV shows, feature stories, tip stories, the works, folks. And it's going to be online, so you can do it anytime. It's a self-study course, but I'm going to be there with videos, with in-person support, with webinars, templates, education. And as always, I lay on a heavy dose of inspiration and motivation, because I know, like you, this stuff isn't easy. Sometimes it's scary. So we're going to sort of hold hands and dive in together. So they can head over to press for SabinaKnows.com, KNOWS.com. Sabina is my name. And I'm sure they can link from this podcast, and they can sign up for my newsletter, and they can sign up to be alerted the minute the class is open. And we'll give them a juicy promotion code as well for checking it out early. So, and until then, they can access me on my website to get tips, to get strategies, and to get lots of motivation. And I'm all over social media, Instagram, Twitter, Periscope, Facebook, via Sabina Knows as well.
Awesome. And of course, all that information will be on our notes page over at the Starters Club. So Sabina, thank you. I can't thank you enough. This has been incredible. I can't wait to go. I'm going to go as soon as my kids wake up from the nap. I'm taking them to the grocery store, and we're picking up an O magazine, and I'm rolling with this thing.
Do it, because you're on fire as well, Erin. And I feel like when people have a good message to share with the world, you got to. It's your job to share it with all of us. So go for it. And I look forward to reading about you in O Magazine, of course, and all of the other people wherever they land next to.
Awesome. I love it, Sabina. Thank you so much.
You are so very welcome.
Thanks for listening to Tip Tuesday on the Starters Club podcast, where we talk about the business details that no one else likes to talk about, but everyone needs to know. See you next time on the Starters Club podcast.